If you have your Bibles, then turn with me to the book of Matthew. And if you would turn to Luke chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24. This is Resurrection Sunday, and we're remembering that Jesus rose from the dead, showing victory over not only sin, but victory over death as well. What was going on in Jerusalem when Jesus rose from the dead is there were a number of believers in the city that had been followers of Christ who had met together, and they'd heard about his resurrection. We looked this morning briefly at the disciples who had met together in the room and were really in fear of what was going to happen to them. And they heard that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter and John had run down to the grave, the sepulchre, and had seen the women had come back as they had gone down first to try and finish anointing the body of Jesus, and found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. And they came back and reported to the disciples, and Peter and John ran down there and saw that that was the case. They were told that Jesus had risen from the dead. There was two angels there that revealed that to them. They went back, and later that same day, Jesus appeared to the majority of the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. And when Thomas came and they told him, "We've seen the Lord," he thought they were crazy. And said, "I won't believe unless I place my hand in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side," where he'd been speared by the Romans. And then Jesus appeared and said, "Thomas, place your hands in my hands and put your hand in my side." And Thomas fell down and said, "My Savior and my Lord." And so we saw that they had seen Jesus. Well, there were other disciples that weren't there present when Jesus appeared to the apostles and to the women. And there was a couple of them that were in Jerusalem, and they were heading back to the city of Emmaus. And Emmaus was a small village just east of Jerusalem. The distance given in the scripture is not in miles as we would know it, so to transfer it into miles, it would be about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It would be a healthy walk. In a car, it would be a matter of just a few minutes, but if you were walking it, which these disciples were, it would be quite a distance. Well, they had seen and heard of the events going on, and they decided to go home because they said, well, they're saying he's risen, but has he risen? And there is real doubt. To give you a background into what's going on, I'm going to beginning of reading at chapter 24, verse 1, and then we're going to pick it up at verse 13 with the two of them walking back to Emmaus. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." And just pause there. Those of you who have been with us the last few weeks, especially Sunday morning, remember that we were talking about the fact that Jesus, when he came up from the Galilee into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover for the last time, told the disciples on more than one occasion, "When we go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified, put to death. I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to rise again." Well, guess what? They, like us, had short memories and didn't hear what Jesus was saying. And so when the events happened, they were terrified. And that's why they were all in the room together. They were afraid that the Jewish priests and Sadducee. We're going to come and gather them up and turn them over to the Romans for crucifixion as well. And they forgot the words of Jesus. And it says here that he told them, but they forgot. And they remembered his words. So now they're remembering these words because they're seeing the resurrection and what the events. And returned to the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. And the rest would have been the women and the other disciples that weren't the apostles, the other disciples, two of whom were going to be these that are walking back to Emmaus. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, this is where we pick it up. Evidently, this couple left at this time. Jesus hadn't appeared yet to the disciples in the upper room. We know from looking at the Gospel of John this morning that he did come and appear to them in the room, and later he appeared a second time a few days later in the same room. But when these people left, they were still, Christ hadn't appeared. They just had been reported that he had risen, and the women reported, especially Mary Magdalene, that she had seen him. But they were thinking, well, is it really true? Peter went down, and it doesn't record John going with him, but we know from Matthew and from the Gospel of John and Mark that John went with him down to the sepulchre or the tomb and saw that this is exactly what the women had said, and they in turn saw the angels and had the same report given to them. So they've got some of them that are believing, but some of them are still filled with questions because like many of us, we hear things, but we question, is it really true? Could this possibly be? Now, if you look at the history of the world until this point, there's only two people that never died. That would be Enoch and Elijah, who were caught up into heaven. Everybody else had died. And nobody had risen from the dead and not died again. We see that right prior to Christ's crucifixion, he had called forth Lazarus out of the tomb, and so in essence, Lazarus was called back from the dead. But guess what? Lazarus died again. But Jesus wasn't going to die again. He gained victory over death and rose from the dead, and then later on ascended into heaven. So now that brings us to these two people going back to Emmaus. And as they're going back, they're having a discussion. And it says here, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs, which is about 7 miles. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And just pause here. You can imagine you're with somebody that you know very well, and you both have been following Christ. You've been followers of him. You've seen all of these events transpire. This last week, you saw Jesus enter into the city on Palm Sunday, and people were going crazy, calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, O Son of David," and calling out that he was the King, and laying down palm branches as he entered in on the foal of a donkey. They saw that. They had heard about the cleansing of the temple, where he put to shame the Sadducees for all of the things they had been doing. They had heard about his teaching at the temple and how the people were amazed at his words that he shared. They had heard about what had happened where he had been betrayed and arrested, and then they had seen him and crucified and put to death, and now they heard that he had risen from the grave. But they hadn't seen him yet alive. And so they are, you can imagine, they got a lot to talk about. It'd be like us having a whole series of events and now we're together, like my wife and I are together, and we're driving somewhere, and we're going, wow, can you believe all these things that have happened? and just wondering what's going on here. And that's what they were doing. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, if you can imagine, they're walking. People walked them. Most people didn't have horses. Most people didn't have carts. Most people didn't have donkeys. They walked. And so they're walking, and all of a sudden, there's a stranger that's walking with them. And which is not uncommon. You're walking, and people would walk on the same road you're on. And so all of a sudden, they're reasoning, what could all of this mean? And could these things really be real? And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Well, what's Jesus going to do? What is he going to do with these two? Is he going to reveal himself right away? Well, the answer is found in the next verse. Verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And Jesus did this on various occasions where he would be with people, but they wouldn't recognize who he was. And also, there was more than one occasion during his ministry where he was, where the Pharisees were going to pick up stones to stone him in his hometown of Nazareth. They're going to push him off a cliff, and yet he just walked through them and they didn't touch him. Or they couldn't pick up the stones. Or they picked up the stones but couldn't throw them. Because he was in control of the situations. And this is to teach us, no matter how dire the circumstances may seem, no matter how confused we are, number one, God knows what's going on, and secondly, he's in control. Jesus is in total control. He's in control of all the events that transpired that week. People say, well, the Jews put Jesus to death, or the Romans put Jesus to death. No, Jesus allowed himself to give up his ghost, and he allowed himself to be hung on the cross so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. And he was not put to death by anybody, but the scriptures tell us he gave up the ghost. He was in control. Not the Romans, not the Jews. Jesus was in control. He's in control of this situation. And he's going to do some things that are amazing. Now let's see what the amazing things are that Jesus is going to do. The thing we should say is, well, Lord, you should just reveal yourself to him right now. Well, no, he's got something greater that he wants to do. Because he wants them to understand they have had the truth the whole time, but didn't see it. And he's going to reveal the truth to them before he reveals himself. And so he says here, but now it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye leave one to another as ye walk and are sad? And so he's asking them, what are you talking about? What are these events that you're communing about? Because it's sure making you sad. Evidently their countenances, you could tell, they weren't exactly filled with joy. They thought Jesus was still dead because they hadn't seen him. They only heard he was alive. And they didn't know. And so their countenances were such. And I don't know about you, but I've had a sad countenance. I'll come home and my wife will ask me, what's wrong? I'll go, nothing. Oh, really? Then why does it look, why is your chin dragging on the ground? Why do you have this horrible, your shoulders are hanging down and you look terrible? If nothing's wrong, something's wrong. Well, Jesus could tell by the way they walked, although he knew their hearts and he knew the whole underlying points of their conversation. He knew their thoughts, but you could tell by their countenance that they were sad. And so he asked them that. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And so they're saying, what are you? Are you just arriving? Haven't you heard that this has been going on for a week? This whole transition. Everybody praising Jesus, and all of a sudden, a week later, he's on the cross and dead, and he's buried. And in the meantime, you've had all of these conflicts between the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and the Roman guards, Herod. They're all trying him, and they tried him illegally 6 times, and they've done all of these things, and yet, you don't know anything about this? How could you possibly have been in Jerusalem and not known about it? Well, first of all, who's Cleopas? Well, the only other time we're aware of Cleopas is one other time. It talks about Cleopas being a follower of Christ along with his wife, Mary. And so we see that Cleopas is probably walking either with a friend of his or with his wife at this time, because both he and his wife are followers of Christ and may have been with the other disciples listening to all the events that were transpiring. And well, Jesus answers, and he says to them, an interesting question. I have to do like Jesus does. You ever notice that Jesus, when he's dealing with people, he never gives them the answer, but begins to give them the answer with asking questions. And I like to talk too much, and I need to learn to ask questions like Jesus did. Because why does Jesus ask questions? He asks, what things? Well, this is a pretty a question where he knows the answers, because he's at the center of all of the activity. It's a redundant question for Christ, but he's asking them so he can get their thoughts, so he can see what they're thinking, and so he can get them to think. You know, one of the things we need to do with people when we talk to them about the gospel, when we talk to them about God, is get them to think. Get them to think, who is God? Why should I follow God? Is Jesus real? Why should I believe in Him? Well, Jesus begins, these are His followers, but He begins, what things are you talking about? What things? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, almighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Now, it's interesting, the response that oftentimes people give prior to them really understanding that Christ did rise from the dead is they called Jesus a prophet. They did not call Him the Messiah. They did not call Him the Anointed One. They did not call Him the Savior and Redeemer. But they would call Him a prophet. That's what they're calling Him, is a prophet. So let's go on and see what comes of this. And it says and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. And we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, why are they saying these things? Okay? They, like even the apostles, thought that Jesus' whole point in coming to earth this time was to redeem Israel, establish it as the new world leader, overthrow Rome, and that His kingdom of righteousness would come and He'd rule from Israel as the king. And that's what they perceived. This morning we looked at the disciples, how they'd gone to Him, and they still didn't understand. And Jesus, in the first book of Acts, talks to them and commissions them not to establish the kingdom on earth at this time, but rather to go forth with the gospel message. And that is the whole purpose in His first coming. But these two, like all the rest of them, have got it confused. Jesus and the prophets had foretold of 2 comings of Christ. In the first coming, He was coming as the Redeemer, the suffering servant, the one who would be the anointed one of God to come and take away the world, take away the sins of the world. The second time He was coming as the ruling King, the one who would be the judge and establish His kingdom forever. But there were 2 comings. And the people were looking and they were getting confused and thinking that it was only 1 coming. Both things were going to be established at once. No, Jesus had to pay the penalty for sin. Then He would come back and judge those who refused to accept this gift of salvation and judge the wicked systems and and rulers of this world and establish his kingdom of righteousness. If you just want to hold your finger here for a minute, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. The book of Isaiah chapter 61. I was going to do this morning and I ran out of time because I didn't leave enough time to get here. But Isaiah chapter 61, and in Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus is speaking in the synagogue in Nazareth. And as he comes to speak at the synagogue in Nazareth, in the synagogues, what they do is they have the scrolls. And the scrolls are the scriptures. And every Sabbath day, they have a certain reading. And they have the same readings every Sabbath day that throughout the year. Like if you have the third Sabbath day of the year, you'd have the same scroll reading that day. Well, this day, Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. And they give him the scroll to read the scripture. And so let's see what happens. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then he pauses here, and you can read this in the Gospels. This quote is there where he's reading these verses. And then he rolls the scrolls up and gives them back, and he says, today this has been fulfilled in your eyes. They knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying that he was this Messiah. Now, you notice he stopped short. If you go on and read, he talks about establishing his kingdom of righteousness and justice. Get on to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil for joy of mourning, and garment for praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. And he shall build up old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. Now, he didn't read that. That's going to happen at his second coming, not his first coming. They were thinking all of this was going to happen when the Messiah came. There's two comings. And when Jesus stopped after the first verses and rolled up the scrolls and gave it back and said, today this has been fulfilled in me, guess what they did? They called him a blasphemer because they knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying, I'm the Messiah. And they began to take him out, and they took him to the edge of Nazareth. We've seen it. Roberta and I were in the city of Nazareth. They took us out to this hill where all likelihood had happened. You look down this hill, and if you were thrown off this cliff, you would not survive. It's a steep cliff. And they took him out there, and they were going to push him off the cliff. But guess what? That's not the way he was to die. And this was not the time he was to die. And it says they could not do it, and he walked through the midst of them and left. But he had shown them of his first coming, but they should have also seen there would be a second coming. Well, let's go back to Luke's Gospel. And so we see that they're discussing this in verse 21, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, since the crucifixion occurred, and so they're saying, he should have risen, but we haven't seen him. We've heard that he has, but we haven't seen him. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Okay, so they're saying, we know this, we've heard it, but we don't necessarily believe it. But we know that it's supposed to happen. Now, it goes on, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and that would be Peter and John, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then this couple evidently had left before Jesus appeared. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now what does Jesus point them back to? He doesn't point them back to the women. He doesn't point them back to Peter and John and say, Oh fools, why don't you believe the report of these people? No, he says, Oh fools, you're not believing what all the prophets have foretold. You're not believing the Word of God. In other words, the Lord has revealed all of this to you and has told you what is going to happen, but you haven't believed it. Instead, you want to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, but you will not believe the truth which I have given to you. And he goes, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Okay? The whole reason that Jesus came from glory to earth, took on the form of a man, suffered these things, was to go back to glory, but so that He could take you and I with Him to glory to rule and reign eternally. Because had He not done this, none of us could go. None of us would be worthy of going. None of us could gain entrance to heaven. None of us could be called the sons and daughters of God. None of us could have intimate fellowship with Him. We would be like Adam and Eve when they sinned, hiding, trying to cover our sin with that which can't cover it. Adam and Eve tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. A pretty temporary covering, if you ask me. Leaves don't last long. And the thing is, they couldn't cover their sin anyway. And what was the Lord's? Who told you you were naked? Because He understood that they had violated His word and done that which He told them not to do. That is sin. And so we see here, Jesus goes on, and the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now can you imagine this? He who wrote the scriptures, He who foretold of His coming, who foretold of all these things, starts in Moses and goes through the whole scripture. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? And have Jesus telling you, okay, this is what's speaking of me, and this is how it speaks of me, and this is how it shows of this part of my coming, this is how it's showing what I'm doing here. And that's what He shows to them. And He shows them the reality of His coming and all that happened, and it was real. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have to go further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And so they weren't going to let Him leave. They wanted to hear more. I don't know if you've ever been sitting under a really exciting teacher, and he's teaching God's Word, expounding it, and it's coming to the end of the session, and you're going, yeah, but I want, give me more. In India, they don't have Bibles. In some of the places of Africa, they don't have Bibles. They will literally walk hours to hear preachers, and sometimes they'll sit for hours listening to them. And in both cases, they say, if a man can't preach for an hour, he's not a preacher. Because that's a minimum we expect, but we expect them to go on and on teaching us. Because we're excited to hear. That's what they were. They were excited to hear. Come on in. We want to hear more. And they restrained Him, saying, Abide with us. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Amazing. Okay? He revealed to them through God's Word who He was. They were so excited to hear that Jesus was alive. He came in, and then He breaks bread to give thanks, and gives it to them, and all of a sudden He pulls the scales off their eyes and they can see it's Him. And they're going, all right. And then He vanishes. You know, sometimes Jesus has to do that to us. We get discouraged, we get despondent, we don't know, we're going, well, your word says I should have this attitude, your word says, but man, you don't know my circumstances. And all of a sudden Jesus says, yeah, I do, and I'm there for you. And He does a similar thing to us. Takes the Word of God, shows us the truth through it, opens our eyes and hearts, and feeds us and enables us to carry on. Well, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Their heart was just so excited as He opened the Scriptures and revealed all these things to them. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now, the amazing thing that I think is, this is not the middle of the afternoon when all of this is transpiring. It's late in the evening, and we see that because they want Jesus to stay overnight, because they say, well, it's late. Stay overnight with us. Abide with us. And so they did. They had a meal. All of a sudden, guess what? It's darker out now than it was before they started the meal. But after Jesus leaves, they want to go and they want to share. Why? Because they're so excited to have had all of God's Word opened up to them by the Lord, and then to see His presence and to spend time with Him. But how many of us really open up the Word of God and want to share it with other people and are all excited and want to just go out and share? They got up, it's the middle of the night, they're heading back to Jerusalem because they want everybody to know that the follower of Jesus, it's real, it's true. He told us all of it. And saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of the bread. And so they shared everything that had happened to them, and they were so excited. May we realize Jesus is real. We prayed for some people that were visitors this morning that may or may not have been Christians. If they weren't Christians, they're not believers today because they don't believe Jesus is real and His message is real. And we need to be excited about it because it is real. And He is real. He is alive. He did save us from our sins. He has called us into this newness of life. He has transformed our minds. He's made us new creatures in Him. And we need to tell other people about it. And we need to be as excited as Cleopas and his partner, and going back and telling others. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to be encouraged by Your Word and to be understanding of the fact You did rise from the dead. This is a real occurrence. And Father, You are the one that has come to redeem us, not with money, but with Your blood, and to pay the penalty for our sin, that we could be redeemed and saved, and that we could be called Your sons and daughters. Now, go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 260. 260.